We're here with John Fish, Dr. Dave, and we got Ricky Zito here too. We're in Ricky Zito's room, and we're in Las Vegas, and it's 6 a.m. We've been drinking all night, and we decided it's a good time to start a podcast. The reason I'm starting this podcast is because we were out tonight, and a very good fantasy NFC player, probably one of the best, asked me to review the Platinum Las Vegas March 23rd, 4 p.m. draft. This certain individual does not listen to podcasts, but he did promise that he would listen to this podcast if I did it. So we are going to do it. What up, Fish?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Dr. Dave?
What's going on, Zach? How are you?
We got this podcast. I'm good. We got this we got this black draft board. We got team one. And I think Sean Childs posted this on Twitter, which is fine because it's all public, right?
Yep.
You guys agree?
Yep.
Because it's anyone can walk into that room, so we're cool. Posting on Twitter is fine.
Well, I think this is the biggest draft for anybody, right? I mean, it's the highest stakes league in NFBC, I think it's
fine.
Is
it though? I thought it was this
15K.
I'm not sure. Is this 10K? I thought it was 10K.
No, it's 15.
10K. So Diamond is 10K, Platinum is 15.
Okay, my bad. Okay,
I think.
So this is the big one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're good to go.
Team one is Stad Mueller. Team two is Gruber. Is it Hans Gruber or Douglas?
It might be Hans.
Is it Hans? Well, is it
what Gruber? Do we do? Should we call Bobby Big Bucks and ask? Make sure?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I gotta know. Should we call him?
Doug Gruber, good guy.
Let's page him in.
All right, we got Robinson, team three.
I don't know who that is.
Neither do I. Team four is Doug Mo. That's
it. That's another Doug. Yeah.
He's ex NBA coach.
NBA coach, yeah. Yep.
And then total
legend.
Yep, we got team
five. An actual real legend.
Yep.
Oh, wait, what are you trying to say, little fish?
Well,
trying to say that when you call other people legends, they're not actual legends?
You guys are all legends too, but you know what I'm saying. Doug Moe's actual real legend.
I'm going to crack this high noon right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's all right, do it.
Thanks, yeah.
How much booze do we got?
Enough.
Actually, We have some Bacardi.
We're relying on Zito here tonight. This morning, I should say.
Bukkake? What?
I think it's a Bacardi, but it could have been Bukkake. I wasn't
Well, really... if he had Zambuca, I'd be in, but...
Zambuca? All right.
Oh, yeah.
So team five is Schroeder.
Glenn Schroeder.
Yeah. I think he teams up with... What's this? Fleming. Very good players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Top five all-time.
Oh, yeah.
Great players.
This is a good league.
And then sir.
We got Danny Bronski in team six.
Bronski.
Team seven, Ferrari, which is Sean Childs. So Sean, I think Sean Childs and Ferrari are teams up.
Yeah.
Teaming boys.
Is it Jim Ferrari?
I don't know.
Okay.
I actually don't know.
I think he still owes the pole hitter money too, still.
What?
Oh, don't edit that out. Listen, this is NFBC uncut.
You know what? There's no fucking way I'm edit, I don't know. I gotta do fab tomorrow. I don't have time to edit this shit.
All right. Well, if Jim Ferrari's listening, pay Rob, man. The fuck?
Yeah.
All right.
Get off your wallet. And team eight, Jagr. Paul Jagr. He was in a main event with me. Great guy. I was talking to him. Been a million drafts with him.
Now, why have you been in a million drafts with him is the question.
Because he's the same thing as me. He does too many leagues. So we might as well get the guys in the leagues that do so many drafts together.
I feel like there might be another reason, Zach.
Team nine is Mitchell. I don't know who that is. And team 10 is Dassault. I don't know who that is.
Dassault?
Team 10 is Dassault. And then team 11 is Dies Hard.
Oh, yeah. That's Hans Gruber right there. Handy Zard, right?
Yeah, Hans Zard has
Bobby Big Bucks.
Is team 11. Yeah. And then team 12 is...
Our boy.
DuPont.
Jay.
Team 13 is Rob Silver.
Yes, sir.
Team 14 is Thaler, and he was there with his little child.
That was actually awesome.
Yep. And team 15 is Thompson. Was that Errol?
Errol Thompson.
Errol.
Yep.
Great guy.
Good guy.
Great.
Love him.
Great right wing fella.
He is, but he's a really good dude. I like him.
Yeah, I know. So I came into this draft, and I was watching a lot of it. And we have we've pulled up.
Are we sure that was Errol? Sorry.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I just saw Thompson. I assumed it was.
I think there was John Thompson, who was... I believe a total legend in the draft chat. battling Yancey.
I'm talking about the former NBA or NCAA coach of the...
Yes, yes, Georgetown.
Georgetown?
Yes, all former legend. Yes.
Wait, are you serious?
Not the real John Thompson, but I believe his name is John Thompson.
Oh, okay.
And I believe he had a nice battle with...
Oh, God.
I mean, listen, I love the battles,
obviously. I'm aware.
And I'm... it's not just Twitter. You gotta look at the chat too. Kind of signups chat and all that stuff. It's a great battle. No,
my favorite thing on the chat is people asking to join the Gladiators.
Yes, yes. Oh, they were sold out 4 months ago.
Yeah, every fucking day there's someone saying, "Oh, when can I join a Gladiator?" Yeah, it was sold out in fucking December. We got the first 20 rounds here pulled up. I don't have the rest of it. Somebody shared the board with me. Is that out of line?
I mean, if they shoot it with you, it's public info.
Well, it is public info, yeah.
What does the War Dog think?
I don't know.
Oh.
He probably loves this.
Oh, yeah. War Dog's all about sharing. The more, the better.
Yeah. Sharing is caring for him.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. All right.
All right. So do you want to go through... How do you want to do this? Do you want to go through the round by round or team by team? Do you want to pick out teams?
I mean, this is your podcast. So you tell us how you want
to go.
I want to please my guests.
This is impromptu, so we're just kind of on the fly.
Let's go team by team.
First thing I noticed is all the pitching. A lot of pitching, especially in the back half.
Yeah. So two teams. We can look at two teams. We got our boy DuPont.
Yeah.
And we got Silver taking a lot. Silver took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitchers, including two closers, in a row to start the draft.
Yep.
So let's just start with the elephant in the room. That's the most interesting, I think, start to the draft here.
Yep.
He took Corbin Burnes. And again, Sean Chiles posted all this on Twitter, so it's all public info, right? So.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't even...
CYA.
It doesn't even matter because this... First of all, it's a public setting, so anyone can walk in. It's not even in the draft. And second of all, like someone like Phil or whoever's in this draft... he's gonna play against after this is already in Las Vegas, right? So that they could come see it anyways. It's not like it's people on Twitter that are gonna see it and then come sabotage his leagues.
Yeah.
Everyone's there anyways. They could walk into the room, so it almost is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Silver started Burnes, Kirby, Fried, Eflin, Doval, Phillips, Rodon. So that is two closers. And five starters to start.
Five starters, yeah. I mean, to me, it's bold, obviously, but we know how the higher the dollar amount, the more the pitching gets pushed up. Now, my first concern is what do you do, obviously, with the hitting? So, and we'll get that in a second, but I don't know. If I look at these pitchers, I think he's going to dominate the whip category. I mean, every single one of these guys is elite in the whip category. So I think it's going to be, a lock there, basically.
What about Rodon?
I mean, like what? Yeah, he's kind of a wild card, but at the same time, he's what, SP5?
Doesn't matter though. Like I agree with you. I think he's going to dominate. It's obviously a great start.
I mean, he has to dominate, right? Like if he wants to compete after starting 7 straight pitchers, he has to dominate.
I don't think so. That's the thing. I don't think so.
Like what? Like for me, okay, yeah, Burnt, yeah, Kirby, check, Fried. Fried check, Eflin check, Doval, Phillips, okay, good closers, great. But then you go Carlos Rodon, who could just fucking explode everything. So why do that and then take a big risk like that? You know what I mean?
Because I'll tell you.
And devil's advocate. I'm not saying I'm smart or anything like that. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like if you're going to do this, make it good and safe. Don't add in a fucking landmine.
Right. And Rodon, you know, like when you already have four starters and two closers, why is Rodon even necessary there? Like, why not start your hitting there? But my biggest issue is with his third pick is Max Fried. I'm avoiding him everywhere. Couple missed months last year with forearm inflammation. Is he okay this year? I don't know. Why are you taking him over? Lindor is still on the board. Seager still on the board. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you start with Burnes, Kirby, you're good. You can follow that up with Eflin, Doval, Phillips. I don't see why you're taking Fried in the third round. That just feels really egregious to me.
No, I hear you, but so that, but that's the strategy. It's like you can say why didn't you take these hitters, but he obviously purposely took the pitchers because that was his strategy. And my comment about Rodon, and then maybe it's a bias on my end, is like he's a potential blow up, but Rob could very well be confident in Rodon. The projections are great, so like if it's not really fair that he's not here to defend himself, but he could, like, his potential response to me could be, well, Zach, I believe Carlos Rodon is severely undervalued and it's an amazing value in the seventh round, and I believe he's not going to blow up my ratios because that's why I took him. Same reason why I took Zach Eflin. I think he's going to produce great numbers. Same with Rodon. So it's just a matter of his assessment.
Well, and also he stole him from DuPont because DuPont would have been all over Rodon if he had had the chance to draft
him. Well, hold on a second. No.
He loves the Yankees.
DuPont took Kettle Marte in the seventh round, and then Silver took Rodon. So.
Yes, but Jason loves Yankees players, so he was really going to go hard for Rodon there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? In Jason's defense, I believe he didn't. Like, he's got two drafts coming up today, and he doesn't want to just let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, he doesn't want to give away his draft strategy. Yeah, I understand.
Today, he's got his guys. He's got the diamond, right? Yeah, so he's going to get Rodon and Cortez and et cetera.
What time is it right now? What do you mean today?
What are we in today?
Yeah.
It's like 6 a.m., bro.
6 a.m. Yeah. All right.
It's all definitely right. Today.
And we're all up early.
Yeah, it's today.
Yeah.
However you want to look at it, we're up late, we're up early. It's the same fucking thing.
All right, what else here? So, the pitching, like, I don't know. The pitching is obviously good. Like, we can nitpick at Fried, we can nitpick at Rodon, which we have, but, like, that's really a bias on our ends. Would you not agree?
That's a bias?
Yeah, it is somewhat of a bias. Like, you don't like Fried, I've got my bias on Rodon.
Why is that a bias? It's just your evaluation. Why is that biased?
Oh, that's a good question, Dave.
Yeah. Zach's not used to being on the hot seat.
Yeah, I'm just asking because it's a
valid question for sure.
I wouldn't call it bias. I would just call it that's my evaluation. If your evaluation is different, then that's fine. But I don't think it's biased.
Okay, that's fair. So, yeah, Rodon's shit.
Okay.
So,
I agree with you. So I'm with you on that. I don't like the Rodon pick either. I think the Fried and the Rodon pick were not good there.
I'll say one more thing though. If somebody wants to go pitching heavy like this, you have to make sure that you address saves, in my opinion, because obviously pitchers only can get five categories.
Oh, you got two phenomenal closers.
Yes.
I love the closer picks. Like, yep.
So he still addressed it. You know what I'm saying? So like,
yeah,
it's literally, I mean, you could have pitching wrapped up essentially, you know what I'm saying? Like two closers.
He didn't take another pitcher until round 19, which is Carlos Estevez.
Yes,
another closer, right. which is not weird, but like interesting.
Because so, to me, that's a steal.
So here's the thing:
round 19.
So if Fried gets hurt and if Rodon is not great, then you've got Burns, Kirby, and Eflin, and then a bunch of guys that you took late. Is that enough?
But you can say if this guy gets hurt on every other team.
I'm just saying, is that enough to dominate? Because you said I think he's going to dominate those categories. I'm not so convinced.
Strikeouts, I'm not quite sure, but I believe WHIP is going to be. I'd be shocked if he doesn't finish 15 points in WHIP.
Okay, yeah.
Every single one of these guys is elite in WHIP.
WHIP does look good. Burns, Kirby, Eflin, you know, Duvall, Phillips. Yeah, WHIP looks really good.
Yeah.
And
that's the start.
But
that's all I look for in a pitcher.
Okay. Alright.
So pitching's good. Pitching's obviously good. It's great.
Well, it has to be.
So how to do what he did,
he has to be.
Yep.
The big question is, like you alluded to, Dave, is how did he do in the hitting? And it started with CES.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yandy Diaz and Estuary Ruiz. So it's power, average, speed, to oversimplify.
I mean, yeah. Estuary Ruiz, I think, is a horrible pick. I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to make up for... I mean, you can laugh. It's fine. You can do that on... you know, you're trying to make up for the lack of steals through that many rounds, and I get that, but this is a guy who sat a ton last year. I don't know how much he's going to play this year. I mean, like, anytime you have a guy who's pure steals and is just not a good hitter, these guys lose their jobs a good amount of time. And this is what I have a different term, but Zach calls a single point of failure, where you have one guy who you're relying on for all your steals. So what happens if he gets hurt? What happens if he gets benched or sent down or whatever? Where are your steals going to come from then? Because you look at the rest of the draft, like, you might be getting some steals here and there, you know, from Melendez and Hap, a couple here and there, Green, but not nearly enough. So, personally, I hate the Estuary Ruiz pick.
So...
Wait. Zito sleeping.
Yeah, he's sleeping.
Zito has fallen asleep?
He has passed the fuck out. I mean, to be fair, it's like 6-something a.m.
Let's just pause and not say anything so you can maybe pick up some of that story.
You want to put it over a closet room?
No. It's okay. It's nice of him to offer his room. But he was tired. So am I. Let's get this podcast finished up.
All right. So... You know, my thoughts, like, I was talking with the best part about being in Vegas is being in the draft room and, like, watching the drafts happen, drinking Greg's free beer. I appreciate that, Greg. Thank you.
He's not listening.
Well, I mean, we're paying for it with our entry fees.
Greg might be, he might be listening. Who knows? Anyways, I still.
Not to Zach's podcast. He's not.
Yeah, probably not.
Actually, but, anyone that says they don't listen to the podcast is probably the biggest listener to this podcast.
Yeah. Well, anyways. So thank you, Greg.
Except for Dave. This is going to be the first podcast Dave listens to in a while.
Yeah. That is true. So I was talking with Dom Rella, who's bullpen guru, total legend. I said, what is he going to do for speed? He said, I think he's punting speed. I said, I think he's going to take Ruiz. And then, boom, he took Ruiz. So... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you're trying to spike a category, trying to get back in the mix because you're so far behind in all the hitting categories, obviously, when you go that pitching heavy. The interesting to me, I love Yandy Diaz pick because obviously you want to address that batting average, but going CES, I love that pick as well, but it's like you're going first base, you're locking up corner right away too after going that many, like, starting pitchers and
time out for a second. You look at the CES pick. Is there any other hitting? Like, look at the hitters. Is there any hitter you would take over CES where he was taken there?
I love the CES pick. So
yeah, no, well, I like that pick.
He could have. Well, no, yeah. I. It's good. I'm not saying it's a bad pick. I'm just saying, like, Paul Goldschmidt. You take CES over Paul Goldschmidt.
I mean, the only guy I would make an argument for would be Teoscar, but I'd still probably take CES over him.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Okay, sure. Just asking the question.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good question.
Now, if he could have taken Duran there, which would have addressed steals also, and he's a much better hitter than Estuary Ruiz with a more playing time as well. So it just depends on how he wanted to build from there.
All right, so if he takes, let's say he does take Duran there in the whatever round, the eighth round, is it? Who would you take instead of Ruiz in the ninth round? Or what round did you take Ruiz? 10. So let's say you do take Duran. He's going to get you, what, like 30 steals? And then better hitter than Reeves?
Yeah, but, I mean,
taking Estrada.
But you miss on... Would you rather have CES and Ruiz like he has, or would you rather have Jaron Duran and, like, I'm looking for a power guy?
Like Nick Castellanos? Yeah, I'd rather have...
Springer?
Yeah, I'm not really a big Springer guy, but... Yeah, like Nick Castellanos and Duran would probably be the way I'd go. I mean... Depends on what positions you're trying to fill. Burger, you could do too. Yeah, there's always a lot of power options. It's for me, I'm looking for the steals guys who are legitimately good hitters, and there's only so many of those.
Completely,
guys like Estuary Ruiz often lose their jobs, and maybe he won't because he's on Oakland and all that stuff. But if you look at how often he played last year, it was like what 55-60% of games. It was not that many. Like, he sat multiple games in a row a lot, and that's just not the kind of player I want to take. Especially as my third hitter off the board.
Yeah, it's a ton of risk. It's 100% a lot agree. Of risk. 100% agree, but, like, what are you going to do? You got CES, you got Yandy Diaz.
I just told you, I would take a guy like Duran. There's a lot of good steals guys after that.
But Duran's not going to get you back into the mix, I don't feel like. Like, you need a guy, like, Duran's going to get you, what, 30 to 40? That's great. But you need a guy that's going to get like seven.
Well, you can take – no, you don't have to make it all up in one player. You can take several players that will collectively get you where you need to go. Or you don't do a strategy where you take seven pitchers in a row.
Obviously, I agree. I like my aces and bases, Dave. But in this situation, like, what are you going to do? Like, if you took seven pitchers in a row or eight pitchers in a row, whatever it is, like – I don't know. I just feel like you need to spike a category, and if one guy can do that, it's going to be Esther Ruiz.
There's a lot of ways to win. There's a lot of ways to win, and we're not saying this is not going to win, but for me personally, like, he's taken Ruiz in round 10. DuPont took Michael Garcia in round 11. Yeah. I'd rather have Michael Garcia straight up 100% over Ruiz, knowing that Ruiz might still double the bases, but still, like, if I replace Ruiz with Michael Garcia... I'll fix that with Harrison Bader, Dylan Rojas, like way later. I think Phil took. We don't have it here. We just have the first 20 rounds here, but I'm pretty sure Phil took Bader and Rojas. I think for sure he took Bader. I remember that. So,
I mean,
we apologize for the snoring. It's just Zito. He's kindly.
We're literally in his room.
Yeah.
As he's passed the fuck out.
It's been a long night.
Zito's tired.
It's fair. Because it's fucking 6-something a.m.
You know who's not tired? Me.
Yeah.
Let's dance. What do we got here, Dr. Dave? Any injury risk you're seeing?
On this team? I mean,
teams. Who out?
All right. Well, let's talk about Bronski. Bronski.
What is this? Like, have you seen that check out my new haircut video?
Broski. Fucking. Jaeger shot. Jaeger moms.
Yeah.
Jaeger moms.
I'm in the fucking zone.
That is
Jaeger moms.
Yes.
Yeah. Literally, Corbin Carroll is the one guy I'm not touching in the first round. He took him at 6. Like, you've got Tucker still on the board, Freeman still on the board, Tatis still on the board. That is, for me, anyways, horrendous. He has the same injury that Fernando Tatis had, where he missed time several times before he finally had the surgeries that he needed on his shoulder and also wrists, where he's got the subluxation and... At any point, that can end your season. Is that what you want in your first round pick? For me, it's a hard pass. He's got Olsen, Diaz, Yamamoto, fine. Adley Rutschman, Yelich, Reynolds. Then he takes Joan Duran in the 8th round. What?
Can I just pause? And I know you're going to be a bit harsh on this. And I would like to say that's a horrendous pick. Was that worse?
No, I agree.
Yeah.
What? What happened?
Was that worse? Was it worse what I said, what you were going to say? Like, I was trying to soften it, but...
No.
That softened it?
Nah.
You can be out like a month or two, right?
I mean, you can edit this.
Maybe more. Who knows?
No, I'm not editing this.
You can edit it.
I got a new fad for it.
You got Yoan Duran, who's out, what, multiple months at least?
I don't know. Dr. Dave, how long is he out for?
I don't know. It's almost 7 a.m. I don't have my notes in front of me. Fuck it.
You don't have notes on Yoan Duran.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, not on me. What do you mean? I mean, okay,
we got a doctor on here now, in a professional opinion. We need to know.
All right, does anybody here like the Joan Duran pick?
No.
Absolutely not. It's terrible.
Okay, yeah. So like I said, so you're pairing Corbin Carroll with Joan Duran. I mean, like, this team is a disaster area. I mean, Luis Arraez. Oh, fuck. Jackson Holliday? In what round is this? The 16th after he was sent down? Does this guy, like, not read news is my question. I mean, if you're paying $10,000, I'm looking up the fucking...
Is this 10 or 15 grand?
15.
Okay, all right, 15 grand. I don't... Fuck. Any, what, 5, 10, 15, doesn't matter. You're looking up the goddamn news before you take someone who's out for multiple months. What are we doing?
So...
Or not even starting with the team.
I'm not a doctor. I would say Duran's out for about 2 months.
Yeah, at least.
At least. Oof. Because he's honestly, he's been going like early in auctions. He's been going for like $9.
Okay, what's taking. $9 in rounds?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm betting it's later than, what, 7th, 8th round, whatever you put?
Yeah, for sure.
Let me ask you, if you take him, you have to back him up with jacks, right? Griffin jacks?
Yeah, you need to back him up
with something. Here's the thing, even in Minnesota, they never really went with a single closer until Duran last year. We don't know that jacks is even going to be the fucking closer. Like, it could be a committee. I mean, you know, like...
Yeah, Brock Stewart.
Like, yeah. Backing him up with Jax might not be anything.
What about the other guy? What's his name? Alcala. He's back.
I mean,
Jorge sure. Alcala. Yeah.
It's all a guessing game, right? So like, my DCs. You know, like you're not. I have to believe he just didn't know when he took him that he was out. Right? There's no way he's taking him that early. There's no way.
If you're in a $15,000 entry, you have to know, right? But you have to know literally everything.
But you're going to take him in that early?
I would sure hope so. Well, no, I would not take him that early, but yeah, I sure hope you would know.
Would anybody take him that early?
I'll toss back the question. If you're a $15,000 entry, are you going to do Fab?
What do you mean?
Are some of these teams just not going to do Fab?
No, I think they're all going to do Fab.
What? What do you mean they're not going to do Fab? Oh.
Well, there the may call, or may the, not be one.
The callback.
May
the or callback. May not do okay. it. Yeah. Well, okay. You're the one who pointed this out to me, so why don't you go ahead and
go ahead.
We're going to take a brief, we're gonna take a brief break here.
We're not taking any break. I want you to know, listen, this is all whatever you want to call it. the gloves are off. Who's the other one that's not going to do Fab? Which team?
Yeah, well, who are you referring to?
Well, we were 26 minutes in, so we're gonna make sure this saves first. Then we're gonna talk about. I'm not gonna have a break. No, I'm not gonna skirt the question. I'm gonna answer your question, but okay, I'm just gonna break here and take a pause from our sponsors. Right. Okay.
Yes.
Totally. Hi there. This is our sponsor, sleep apnea thing for Rick. Anyways. We're back. That's a good enough sponsor, right?
That was a good sponsor. Yes, absolutely.
What are they paying you to sponsor this?
Well, you know, sleep apnea is a big deal in the world, so we just gotta make sure we get it.
This is a pretty good debut for Rick. I don't think he's been on a podcast before.
This is the most talkative I've ever heard of him.
I love Rick. All right, so what were we talking? Oh, you're calling me out on something, right?
Yeah. I want to know who's not going to do Fab in the $15,000 entry league.
You want me to fucking be real?
Yeah, be real.
Jagger, teammate, doesn't do Fab.
Okay.
So why don't you tell us about that?
He historically doesn't do Fab.
Spends it earlier or just doesn't spend it at all?
Doesn't spend a lot of it.
Okay.
And I've noticed in the high stakes leagues, he doesn't spend it either. So do you want to look at his team?
So do you think like he just drafts his team and just lets it go?
Yeah. Okay. In general, yeah. Like, he's historically has been light spending on Fab, okay. which would be advantageous to be in a league like that with somebody that doesn't compete with you in Fab.
That's interesting, yes.
It's almost like you target guys like that, Zach.
Booyah. Booyah, Dave.
Zach's dossier is the most famous thing Zach in the history of NBC.
Whoever's listening to this right now, Zach has a dossier on you. I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah. He knows all your picks.
He knows your picks. He knows your tendencies, everything. It's pretty ridiculous.
All right. Let's look at the Jagger's team.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about that. Then the elephant in the room. The other elephant in the room is his first pick. And Jagger, yes. And I got the pleasure of meeting him in person today, yesterday.
Yep.
He was in my main event league.
Nice guy.
Yeah. Another main event where they specifically separate people.
Oh. Well, they did that?
Yeah, they do.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's sort of like a wedding planning situation.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You're going to sit here? Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Dave's going to deny it, of course. But
I'm not denying it. I'm just listening.
Okay. Anyways. We're not going to try and open up a can of worms on that again.
Again?
Maybe later.
Maybe later.
But
it'll definitely get opened up.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, it's definitely, all right, it's Jaeger. Definitely Jaeger. So Jaeger.
Ohtani
so
at eight.
All right, Ohtani at eight. So Yammer Jaeger.
Who you like him too?
I took Ohtani seventh overall.
You've been going nuts on him.
I've been going nuts on him. I'm over 30% owned on a first round player this year, which is pretty crazy. No?
Yeah, no, it's definitely crazy.
Because I was taking it anytime I had like the ninth pick or later. I was smashing him every time.
Why were you smashing him at seven, though? Like, when you had guys like Tucker or Freeman still on the board, why are you taking Ohtani over
him? I think the Ohtani counting stats, and I think Ohtani, first of all, so why do I like Ohtani over Tucker and Freeman?
And also, I'm talking post news.
Okay, so it's, yeah. So there's two parts to this answer.
Yeah.
I'll try to answer this because I've had like probably like 18 drinks tonight. So I'll try to answer this as clearly as possible. So there's two parts of that, and I've already lost my train of thought. First of all, the scandal thing's binary. It's a binary thing. So it's either he's going to be fucked or he's not fucked. So it's like, do I think he's going to be out for the year or do I think he's going to be completely fine? And that's obviously a risk. And people ask me when they saw the board, they're like, aren't you worried? I'm like, fuck, of course I'm worried about this. It's like you worry about everything. You like, you worry about your kids. Yeah, you worry about your kids every day of your life. So like, life is a worry. You got to worry about things, but you got to take calculated risks. And in terms of why do I take him over? Like, why wouldn't you take him over someone you think is similar, like Freeman or Tatis? I didn't take him over to Tatis. I would have taken
Tucker too, right?
Tucker. Yeah, I took him over Tucker, and I took him over Freeman. I would not have taken him over Tatis. Matt Shepard took Tatis at the sixth spot. I would have taken Tatis over Ohtani. But in terms of what's his name?
Ohtani.
Tucker and Freeman. I think the counting stats for Ohtani being in the Dodgers with Betts and Freeman is just going to be amazing. And I think Ohtani is the most likely player to hit 50 home runs this year.
Okay, but all that aside, you think he's that much better than Freeman and Tucker at util only, with all the risk that that it's worth taking him over those two?
Yeah, and I don't really care about the util only. I think people are baking that into their cost. But I think I can build my team around a utility only player.
Well, sure, you can. But it hamstrings you, though.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't think the batting average is that much different than a Tucker. And I think the batting average that Freeman gives you, Freeman stole like 20 bases last year too. But
you don't think the difference in batting average between Ohtani and Freeman is significant?
No, I said Tucker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just a Tucker. Okay. I think the batting average between Freeman and Ohtani, yeah, that could be significant for sure. But that's, I think Ohtani's going to steal more bases, and I think he's going to have like, he could potentially have 20 more home runs.
Man, that's a lot to bank on potential when you know the news that you know.
What news?
That was our sponsor. That was our sponsor.
Thank you,
Zito, our sponsor.
That was sleep apnea
If you're
there.
Just tuning in, this podcast brought to you by sleep apnea.
that's a tough pill to swallow for me. Like, I get if you want some of Ohtani shares when he falls past pick 10 or whatever. I don't understand taking him over guys who are, in my opinion, better than him, if not at least on the same level, to take on that added risk.
But you can't get a 50-20 guy later. I can get
what. But that, but that's a really optimistic projection.
Not really.
50?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if Ohtani plays the full season, which obviously you're doubting, he's going to go 50-20.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether
he's going to play. I'll say this down, because I'll admit that I hold my hands close to the chest. I'll even fucking lie and bullshit you, but I think Ohtani's going to go 50-20 this year.
Okay.
Yeah. If he plays, if he's not a fucking criminal, right? Or whatever right. he did. Yeah.
So I mean, that's the thing. It's just, I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm just saying, is it worth the difference
for
the risk?
That's debatable, but also, so here's my other point.
Yeah.
I mentioned tonight when we were talking at the bar. I picked at seven.
Right.
And we're looking at the platinum board. We're making this about me.
It was a little aside, but yeah.
Yeah. I picked at 7. We had Vlad Sedler picking, I forget where we picked, like 12 or 13. We had Stryker, who I met, pretty cool guy.
Stryker, a.k.a. Scott Junstead.
No.
Michael Stryker.
Oh.
Real person.
Oh, okay. When people were saying Stryker, I assumed you meant Jensen, because wasn't that his nickname?
But yeah. War Dog gave him that nickname.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's not Jen's dad. He was not at this table.
All right, my bad.
Not at this table. We'll have another side of the table about the table and remind me about that.
Okay. Noted.
I met Stryker at the Mike the Mouth or NFBC party. I liked that guy. They both told me, or they didn't tell me, but they basically, by talking to them, I knew they weren't going to let Otani just slide to the second round. So one of them would have taken, well, they might have let him slide to the second round, but they weren't going to let Otani get back to me in the second round.
I will say this, like, if you're willing to take him in the second round, you should be willing to take him in the first. Cause, like,
bingo, Dave.
Because last year with DeGrom, I wasn't, whether you believed that he needed Tommy John like me or not, it was complete stupidity to say, okay, I'm not willing to take him in the first round, but I'll take him in the second round. Like, either he's fucked or he's not.
Binary.
If he's fucked.
Binary.
Right.
Yeah.
If he's fucked, you don't take him in the first 15, 20 rounds, which was what I said. If he's not fucked, then you take him in the first round.
You also said about Verlander what year?
2020.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was a good call.
Thank you. But, I mean, the point is just, like, it doesn't make any sense that people, like if you're going to fade someone, you don't fade them for one fucking round. You fade them way more than that.
So here's my thing about this. I took Otani in the first round at pick seven. And I could sense, based on talking to people in my draft, that he was not making it back to me.
Right.
So there's no fucking way I'm gonna let one of these other players start with, like, a J-Ram Otani or a Harper Otani. Not on my fucking watch, okay? I'm doing 6-man events. I don't care. I'll fucking sacrifice this team. No, I'm going to go down with the ship. You're not getting an Otani Harper. You're not getting an Otani Wheeler. No fucking way. Not on my watch. I'm getting the Otani, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, right. So it's about defense as much as it is offense in this main event, right? It's an overall competition. Yes. No. And all these people that let Otani slide to the mid-second round in the main event today, I'll say it. They're fucking pussies, okay?
All right.
It wasn't me.
I'm a pussy. Okay. He slid by me. I took J-Ram Harper, but I'm okay with that. I don't think either of them are that far behind Otani. And I'm with you. Like, he has the upside, but I just don't know enough about that situation.
Where were you picking from?
14.
And was Clark Olsen in your league?
That was my league.
No, that was your league. He took him at 15.
I think Otani went like, it was middle second. It was like pick 22, I think he went.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right, we're not gonna get into this anyway. This is just upsetting me. All right. Well, anyways, I could look like an idiot because Otani could be like in prison tomorrow for what he did or whatever or he could be gone. But I don't know. I think they're probably gonna sweep this under the rug, and that's like,
it's very possible.
Yeah, it's very possible.
I just don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Anyways, we've spent a lot of time on Otani. Let's look at Jagr's team. Do you want to look at his? Yeah. So he took Otani, Alvarez, Gausman, and then Chisholm's a good pick with those. It's a nice little pairing because it gives you that speed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you took Bieber in round 5. In my draft, I've been taking Bieber, and he's a guy that's been getting jumped. And Dave, you've been known to be the Bieber boy.
Yeah,
I do like Bieber this year. There's some risk there though.
He's getting moved up a lot.
Oh my God, yeah,
yeah. He was an eighth. Well. Draft champions, he was like I got him in the 15th round in one of the draft champions.
Yeah.
And he was like basically.
Obviously, those days are over.
No, that's done because the velo's up and people are not stupid. But he was 9th, 8th, 7th, now 5th because it's just one of those helium guys, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he went 6th round in my draft, in my main today. And he could be worth it. But again, like, there's risk there too. Like, he missed several months with the forearm inflammation last year as well. I'm hoping as a Guardians fan that he's great and I have some shares, but not that early. Like, that is just, that's crazy early for me.
Yeah, I'm in a main event again on Monday with Jagr. He's in all the leagues. Okay. I'm in all his leagues.
Yeah.
For just randomly.
Yeah, just randomly. You're not targeting him at all.
No. and I'm just wondering. I pick three, so basically, if he's gonna do that again, I'm gonna have to. If I want Bieber, this is my dossier at work here. I know that if I want Bieber, I'm gonna have to take him at 5.3.
Oh,
I don't think I can do this.
Do you like Bieber?
I like him, but I already have two shares of him in the main event.
Yeah,
in rounds like 7 and 8. Yeah. So I don't know if I want to do that at round five. I'll thank God. Basically, that's where the dossier helps, because not only do I know where he's going to take him, I'm going to have to pivot and make a different plan and know that I'm probably not going to get him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. So my big plan with Jagr's, whatever his name is, Jagr Bombs.
Yeah. By the way, great guy. I was talking to him. He was sitting next to me today.
I'm sure he is. Yeah. I've never heard him
pronounce. I'm sure he is. And now we're just going to fucking trash his team.
So. Well, yeah. Like, looking at the pitching, you're going to start with Gausman, who's got a shoulder injury. Like, okay, I get that they're saying he's going to be ready for the start of the season, possibly.
What do you think they're Dr. Dave now?
Yeah, Dr. Gausman, well, Dr. Dave and Leggy.
We got to get a full breakdown from you.
Well, okay, like, we don't know, right? Like that. This is the thing. It's not about me saying what I know. It's about nobody knows. Nobody knows how extensive the injury is. We had something similar in 2021 with Luis Castillo, and did we ever figure out who the other guy was? Was it Wheeler?
Yeah. Like, Wheeler was fine, I think. That was like a great discount you had on him.
Sort of. When they came back, one of them missed a month and a half. I can't remember who. One of them missed like, you know, a couple weeks. But both of them sucked when they came back.
Sort of.
And then they eventually were good. So, like, I just think people are assuming that Gausman's just going to start the season and be great. And I think that's dangerous.
That's a fair comment.
And then to take Bieber.
So he's off your board. Gausman's off your board.
He's not off my board, but he's off my board in the third round.
So he's off your board.
He's not making it the fourth. I'm never going to get him anymore.
What round would you take him?
I mean, 6, 7, somewhere like that.
Okay,
that's ridiculous.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm always willing to take a lesser player, slightly lesser player, if it means that I'm getting.
Dr. Dave.
I hear you.
But you know, so Gausman and then Bieber and Bednar. I mean, Bednar has not even like pitched in a spring training game, right?
No, I think he threw an inning.
Okay, threw an inning. Yeah. Okay. So he's coming off a shoulder injury, and Bieber, as I talked about before,
I think oblique, wasn't it?
No, he had a shoulder injury.
Okay, you could be right. I thought it was an oblique, but you could be right.
Also, the big guys tend to have issues dealing with the pitch clock, I've noticed, and Bednar is a big boy. And then you got Bieber, who we talked about the injury risk before, and also taking him around his min price here.
He really set them in there.
Yeah. And then, you know, the next picks are like Kyle Harrison and Alex Lang. And I mean, Kyle Harrison, no control. Alex Lang, just bad.
Kyle Harrison's
a 30 plus saves, Alex Lang. I think
Kyle Harrison's you missed both three.
What was that?
You missed both Alex Lang, 30 plus saves, I believe you meant to say.
I did not mean to say that, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
80
strikeouts as well. So
yeah.
You're right for that.
Okay. And then in the middle of all that, he's got Jazz Chisholm, another huge injury risk. So,
bingo.
Like, if you're asking me like what I think about this team, in addition to Ohtani, who's a big risk in the first round, like
injury or just like criminal?
And Yordan Alvarez in the second round. Like this team is just everything that I hate about a team. That is the team that I would bet a lot of money is not going to place in the league.
I would bet that too, considering his fab tendencies. But
that is why we.
Well, yeah. So then when he loot, like when guys go down, inevitably he's not even going to replace them. So I don't know. What do you?
Well, yeah.
That's why we're paying you the big bucks, Dave, to come on this podcast.
I'm just telling how it is. I don't know what.
So what I want to focus on his team also. is Tristan Casas, who he sniped from our good friend Jason DuPont in the seventh
round. Oh, yeah. That one actually probably pissed Jason off.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the joke that I made earlier about Rodon, who Jason wouldn't draft in the 29th round.
It's true. And you got to respect the... You gotta respect
the hatred for all things Yankees from Jason DuPont.
Yeah, you got it. you gotta respect it and love it.
Oh, we love Jason. He's awesome. But that is I don't let bias get in the way for me personally, but he does.
So what was it, 2021? Would Plesac be biased, or would it be something different?
What do you mean?
Like, did you let bias get in the way when you were?
No. So 2021, that was before like StatCast. That was when we didn't have as much information. I was basing it on what I thought at the time, and
I'm just fucking with you, Dave.
I fucked up. I was wrong on that, and it was just.
And it's fun to talk about. It's fun to talk about.
It is, but it had nothing to do with the fact that he pitched for the Guardians. Honestly, it did in the fact that I saw more of him, and so I believed more, but.
Yeah,
that kind of goes towards the eye test is bullshit. Like, you know, you can think you see something, but you really don't.
Any thoughts on him in California this year?
No.
All right. Anything else to say? We'll skip over Jagger. Let's talk about, want to talk about DuPont's team?
Sure.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Jose, he's another really pitching-heavy approach, but let's see how, let's compare his pitching strategy heavy to Rob's.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference, I mean, immediately the first thing I see is, like, you got J-Ram, who's a possible 30-30 candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Ketel Marte, who's another guy that I like. Second base, round 7. So you got two hitters in the first 7 rounds as opposed to, you know, Rob's team with 7 pitchers. And I already talked about Rob's team a little bit earlier. I like what Rob did with his hitting, you know. But... I mean, what it comes down to is, like, the stolen bases. It's the first thing I always look at, like, how you get into your number. But it's a standalone league, so, you know, if you're punting stolen bases, that's one thing. I don't think either one of these guys are punting stolen bases. I'll tell you what I do love about Jason's team, though. He obviously got Goldschmidt in the 8th, and to me, that's a great price. But it's the 9-10. That's what I love. I believe it's the 9-10. Yeah, 9-10.
The catchers?
The two catchers, yes. Wilson Contreras, Sean Murphy. I mean, if you're going to go pitching heavy, I love the fact that he's able to get a power speed bat in the first. And then two, in my opinion, two of the best hitting catchers in baseball.
Yeah, and then you got, I was comparing Michael Garcia to the Ruiz pick. So he did get the better baseball player with, I guess, less stolen bases, but
yeah,
and he has the he's got better. He's short on 2 pitchers. He's got 5 pitchers versus 7, but he did solidify his the staff with Varland, Paddock, Lynn, Matz, whereas Rob didn't have any. He doesn't have any other pitchers through round 20,
mm-hmm.
And he's got the better catchers, in my opinion. Probably has better closers too.
I think the closers are comparable.
Yeah, okay, yeah. The closers.
Clase and Raisel Iglesias versus Duvall and Evan Phillips. Unless Phillips gets traded, I think those are basically a wash.
Yeah, you're right. But I
feel even better about, even though DuPont has 2 less starters, I feel better about his guy. Like, he's got Pablo Lopez, Framber Valdez, and Logan Gilbert. I have no concerns about any of those
guys.
You
love Gilbert,
don't you? I do love Gilbert, yeah. But none of those guys have, like, they're all...
What Fish? You're making a face. You're making a face.
Why you like Gilbert so much? I'm not against him, but...
So this was a top prospect who was a guy, like, I was interested in him for years, and... He's been getting better consistently, and he added a splitter last year that he didn't throw a ton. I mean, he threw it some, but I think he's going to throw it even more this year because the Mariners talked about how they want all their, I don't know about all their pitchers, but several of them. I mean, Kirby added it too. They didn't want him to throw it a ton their first year, but they wanted to build it up. So, like, last year, they were going to throw it, like, 10%. I think Gilbert threw it, like, close to 10%. I know Kirby threw, like, 6%. And then I think this year, they're going to up that even more. And I think the Ks are going to go up. I think he's got good command, good secondary pitches. I just think he has everything you need to be – he's got a high floor, I think, and I think he's got upside as well. So I love Gilbert, and I mean Framber is very safe, I think, and Pablo Lopez too. So like all three of them together, I love that.
You don't think Pablo has an injury risk? Because
I did last year, but he made it through the whole year healthy. I mean,
I'm just asking you because you're Dr. Dave,
yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Obviously, with any pitching is attrition. Anyone can get hurt at any time. But pitching the whole year healthy and even upping his velo, it's hard to see much risk coming into this year.
Yeah, these teams are pretty, like, they're kind of, like, jockeying. Like, you see the Ozuna pick at Util only for Rod.
I do love that pick, by the way.
In round 12.
I love the Ozuna pick.
And then Eloy for Jason in round 16.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ozuna's, I'd much rather have Ozuna, but it's a cost benefit there.
Yeah.
The teams are very, like... Like they're getting like the same. They're filling the same positions. Started pitching heavy, so it's like what team do you like more?
It was a nice little battle, you know, at the back end because you know everybody else is kind of doing a little bit of a, more of a balanced approach, and you know you got Rob going seven straight pitchers, you got Jason with six out of seven pitchers, I believe. I don't know. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was a good battle.
Yeah.
I'm gonna side with Jason's team just because he did get that big bat early,
yeah,
and still have the pitching heavy approach. So yeah, I'm gonna go there. I like the catchers. Yeah, he's got. Like I already mentioned he's got better catchers. Yeah, I'll side with Jason on this one.
Yeah, the only thing I see here is like I agree, but just Jason might be a little bit more light on speed. Like,
yeah. Well, we don't know the last 10 picks, so we only have the first 20.
I can't remember them because I saw that draft.
Oh, okay.
That'll be on the Patreon.
Yeah, I mean, Jason is definitely...
That's with Bjorn's bodies.
Yeah. Right next to Bjorn's bodies. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Jason's definitely going to be light on speed. But, I mean, obviously that's his choice, so we'll have to see how that pans out because he's only really got... J-Ram and then, you know, Michael Garcia and Mullins. And that's pretty much it for his steals. I will say the one advantage that Rob could have is he added a third closer in Carlos Estevez, who looks like he has a pretty much locked down closer role in the 19th round. So I do really like that. But, I mean, like, I think both of them are going to be in the top three or four in saves because they both have two to three solid closers.
Yeah, I'm just looking at both the teams and like the strategy, anything can work. And who am I to say? Like, they're obviously better players than I am. But if you look at like taking those pitchers early, like it sort of forces them to just hammer hitting. Like Rob took hitting after Rodon for the like from rounds 9 through 20, except for Estevez and Jason. He took hitting for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight rounds after that, or 7 or 9 of the next 10 rounds.
Yeah.
So like if you look at the board, are they passing up any extreme pitching value that like it sort of takes their it sort of forces them to go like heavy hitting, and then if the pitching value falls, like did they miss any like heavy pitching values? I'm just looking at the board here.
That's possible. I honestly didn't really
I'm looking out myself. D.L. Hall in the 16th, if they assume everything's been going to be pushed up, like D.L. Hall in the 16th, Gavin Stone in the 15th, those aren't values. Are Varland. Well, Jason took Varland.
But yeah, I like the Varland pick. And
Bueller in the 15th. No, you don't want that. Bello in the 12th. No, like they didn't really miss Severino in the 13th. That's too early. Ooh. That's early. So like they're everything's getting pushed up. So it's almost like they've done well in a sense because if they waited on pitching like the rest of these teams, like they're reaching more so.
Yeah, they essentially moved the market in the draft room.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we got two teams that just go that pitching heavy it's just going to limit it for the rest of the, and then everybody else gets pushed up.
All right, I'm gonna stop this for a second and pause for our sponsors.
Oh, yeah. Yep, sponsors. Yeah.
All right, we're back here, and our you guys are getting another drink.
Yeah, trying.
All right, we're gonna wrap up this pod soon. Gotta go to bed soon. But this podcast and another sponsor, I think it's brought to you by Hans Die Hard's car dealerships. They're in Streetsboro, Ohio. And you can find them anywhere. And Dr. Dave's going to the bathroom.
Yeah, he's gonna use the facility. Yeah. So, what do we got here, Zach?
Let's break it down. Let's bring it home. Let's look at the rest of these teams. They just keep one Gruber, the real Gruber, not Hans Gruber, Doug.
Oh, I thought that was Hans Gruber there from the two.
No, is it Hans?
I thought so. Maybe not.
No.
Oh,
no.
Shout out to Hans.
Anyways. Hans is Team 11.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there he is.
You got a message there?
Yeah. And a text message coming in. Don't worry about it. All right. Anyways.
You want to talk about real Hans, real Gruber or fake Gruber? Team 2 or Team 11? And then we'll get to DeSalt's team after that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I like both of those teams. So...
That's Gruber and Posma, actually, Team 2.
Yeah.
Let's talk about them.
All right.
They went Strider. Funny how Strider just made it to the second spot always when he was like picked like 6 through 8 for the rest of draft season.
I told you like 3 months ago, I'd take him at 3, and now he's like unanimous.
Yeah, you called that. Sale at pick 5.02. That's what's happening. He's another helium boy.
This is one of those, I mean, this is the league where you get your guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is where things get pushed up.
They
this
love
is
where Sale.
Things go nuts. Standalone league, you know. Anybody who's in this league and looks at ADP, they should just immediately exit the league. They should. Because ADP is based off, like, draft champions and main events and OCs. You know, things with the overall, like, things where everybody's like, you know, you do the same thing, Zach. You try to get, like, guys at, like, their max pick and stuff like that, you know, just kind of take the value, like, you know, max entry players like us.
Yeah.
So I mean, I get why things get nuts and especially in this type of league.
Dave, Gruber took CJ Abrams in round three, pick 2. Do you see a big difference between Abrams and forget about the injury as a doctor? Do you see a big difference between Abrams and Carroll in terms of like their projections?
This is a hell of a question here now.
Well, I mean, I think Carroll's a better hitter. Like,
that's
why
this is the best podcast out there.
I think Carroll's a better hitter when he's healthy. I mean, like, I think Statcast wise, Abrams is pretty bad. His hard hit rate did get better in the second half. I mean, some improvements, but, like, he's just not, in my opinion, an actual good hitter. So, for me, I know that he gets you a lot of steals, but it's just not what I'm looking. Not what I'm looking to do.
All right, Dr. Dave, would you take, I'll just pivot here, and I'll ask you, would you take CJ Abrams or O'Neal Cruz?
O'Neal Cruz.
Okay. Fair.
Well, Fish? And well, the
yeah, I know your answer because I know you're going
to get it. No, Dr. Dave's obviously been drinking heavy tonight because okay, so CJ Abrams 47 last year, playing half the year as a 9 hitter. Come on now. CJ Abrams going 25-60, book it, bleeding off every day. And his BABIPs in the minor leagues are so much better than they were. And I know the minor leagues, obviously, everybody's BABIPs in the minor leagues are better, but the difference between his minor league BABIPs and, like, his major league BABIP last year, which was, like, what, 279, I believe? It's off the top of my head. I think CJ Abrams, 270-plus hitter, 25 home runs, 60 stolen bases.
60 stolen bases?
I do think that.
I'm not saying it couldn't
happen. I think that.
But I do agree. Like, when we went out tonight and we were talking, I was talking to some of the best players out there, and I asked them that same question, that I just asked now because I'm interested in it. I asked, why can't Abram, why is his batting average projected so low? His strikeout rate's great. It's like he was on a upward trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he projected? I don't know. What's his projections? I don't even know. Is he projected for 250, 260? Why is it so low? Like, his strikeout rate's like under 20%.
Yep.
He's super fast. Like, what's the deal?
And he's probably he's not a heavy fly ball hitter.
The quality of contact isn't that good, I think.
Okay, that's fair.
You're probably going to say the same thing about Stephen Kwan, aren't you? He's also hitting 300.
CJ Abrams does not have Stephen Kwan's contact skills.
No, I definitely agree. I agree with that. I'm not gonna dispute that.
You're not gonna diss your boy.
Ooh, I love both those guys. So, I mean, I think CJ Abrams has another level. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, we saw what he did last year, and he spent half the season in ninth.
Find you a woman who loves you like John Fish loves the Stephen Kwan Max Muncy combination. That's what I've got to say.
I found that woman tonight. Her name is Sheena. All right. Anyways,
he meant her name is whatever Mrs. Fish's wife is named.
Shit. No. All right. Anyways, let's bring it in here. What do we got, Zach? Anything else with the platinum?
Gruber, we talked about that. Sale at pick 5.2.
What do you want to talk about? Philistine.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about Philistine. So, it was already John Childs already posted it. So, I don't think there's any secrets here. Anyways, anyone playing against him tomorrow is probably here, and they could go in the room and look at this draft anyways. So, he started Wheeler at pick 10. He took Wheeler over Tatis. What do you think? First of all, what do you think about that?
I mean, I'll tell you what I think. I think that Phil knew what was going to happen. And we kind of already talked about it. Like, with Jason and Silver just absolutely pounding starting pitching, I think he knew that, like, starting pitching was going to get pushed up. What's interesting to me, though, is, like, there's some guys that got pushed up a little bit. Like, Zach Gallen went before the end of round two. But at the same time, like, outside of Jason and Silver, a lot of people really didn't push up starting pitching. Like, if you look at the draft board, like, it's a lot of hitters still. I thought that would have created panic. So I get why Phil took Wheeler. I don't hate it, obviously. I love Wheeler. I had picked 10 in my main event today, and I thought about Wheeler as well. But,
That's going to show people that, obviously, Phil has Wheeler ranked above Burns.
Yeah. And I'm on board with that. I think Wheeler is better than Burns as well, but
yeah,
this is all about SGP.
Bah, sheep.
This
Dave,
is all...
Dave, you're such a sheep.
I don't know what that means, but anyways.
there's literally nobody that is less of a sheep than Dave.
I know. I agree.
This is all about SGP. I know about how Phil's process works and, you know, Zimmerman and all that. It's SGP. And SGP says that Wheeler is like a top, I don't know, 5-6 pick or whatever. So he was very willing to take him at 10. Would I take him over Tatis? Hell no. I would much rather take Tatis there. And then, I mean, he could have gotten Castillo in the second round. Easily do Tatis Castillo over Wheeler Devers.
Yeah, that's hard to argue, but I do want to point out what he's done here. He's taken Wheeler in the first, Devers in the second, Peralta in the third, Semien in the fourth, and Snell in the fifth. What he's done is, and I think Fishy pointed it out, he knew what was going on. He took the pitchers in the odd number rounds when he knew that DuPont and Silver were going to go heavy pitching. So he took the pitching ahead of them, and he lagged on the hitting because he read the room. You see what he did there?
Yeah. I thought more pitching we could push it up, and it really didn't. If you look at it, like, Michael Harris went in the middle of the second.
Pitching was moved way up more in my main than this draft.
Yeah.
I will say, do you guys remember Phil's, I think it was the same draft last year, Pivetta was his SP2 in, like, round, I don't even know, 12, 13, something like that, as his second pitcher.
Pivetta's his SP4, but where does he do?
Right.
How did the fuck let Phil get
Kimbrel in round 9.
Right. Yeah.
And Romano in round 12. That whole group of guys like to fill. They're loving the discount on Romano.
I don't know that the Romano pick is going to work out for them, but yes, that's very late for Kimbrel. And like, what was his plan if he didn't get Kimbrel there? Is the question.
Yeah.
That's good. I will say though, I don't love like okay. I like a lot of Phil's picks individually, but roster construction wise, do you guys think that this is enough steals and average for him to compete through 20 rounds? Like, you know, you got Chapman, Langoliers, O'Neill, Varsho. There's a lot of low averages there, and who's this high average guy? Like Devers, Lance Thomas, or Lane Thomas? Like,
You got Bader. I know he got Bader later for the steals.
Okay.
And Benintendi. I think you got Benintendi, if I'm remembering correctly. I'm just going off my memory.
Okay, well, I don't have access to that information, but all I see for steals is Thomas, Tovar, Varsho, and I guess some from O'Neill. Like, I don't think he's getting in.
Semien, too.
Torres.
He's going to get double digits.
A little bit, yeah. But I don't think he's... Okay.
How many steals is Semien going to get? 15? Let's call it 15.
Yeah, I'd say 10 to 15.
Torres, let's call it 10. Just to even it out, 25.
I don't even know if Semien's good for that because ever since Bochy took over, they
don't okay. Can we much. Say Semien and Torres get 25 total?
I don't know. I don't know. So we're doing this Semien by the way with no 30, notes, nothing 30. In front of us. So 30? I don't know.
Fine. 30. I'm good. Good to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
So yeah. 30 on that team. So. Gives that give Devers 0. Right.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, Thomas 20. Thomas 20. I'd almost give it 25.
I'm going to say it right now. I think Lane Thomas is stealing 30-plus this year. He's running absolutely wild in spring training.
He is. I don't like.
And they have nothing to lose.
Lane Thomas is a good pick for that.
Let him go.
And Varsho should run a good amount. But like it's not a lot, though. I mean, like I think he's on the low end of steals, and I don't think his average is
I'll just give him 25, okay? Just for the fucking shits and giggles. Okay. So what do we got? 55.
All right.
Tovar? 15?
Yeah.
We're just ballparking it.
Yeah, 15,
you're drunk.
20 plus.
You're drunk.
I think he's got another level. I think he's got 20 plus in him.
All right, well.
I wouldn't rely on it, but 15.
We said 30 plus 55.
We'll say 15.
Let's call it 70 all right. At that point.
Yeah, in your world where fucking CJ Abrams is stealing 60 bases and Shohei Ohtani is hitting 50 home runs, then fuck, sure, go ahead and give however many steals and homers you guys want to give him.
We're just doing ballpark. So there's 70.
Dave, CJ Abrams, how many steals this year? Give me your exact number. What do you got?
I don't know, because I'm just not taking them.
Give me your number.
I don't have a number.
It doesn't matter about 48. What you're, I'll say 48. You're not taking them or 48. Not.
43.
All right. Boom. We got it on recording. I'm going to say 60. All
right.
I know.
All right. So we got 70, and then we got, what did we got? Varsho. How many is Varsho going to get? 20?
Sure.
15? 20? Call it 90. Just for whatever.
15.
Okay. 85. And then O'Neill's going to get another 15, so 100. Langoliers, nothing. Matt Chapman, nothing. So he's got 100 stolen bases after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hitters. He's got 5 hitters to go, and one of them is a catcher. He's going to get you probably most likely 0.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he probably did get 0 because I believe he took Gary Sanchez and Janie Jansen, who's basically a zeros.
Yeah.
So he's got, I said 9, so he's got like 4 hitters to get him like an average of 20 bases apiece. Bader, how many? 25 for Bader?
Yeah, 20.
Well, 25 is aggressive.
Okay, yeah. fine, 20. So that's 120. And then Benintendi, how many Benintendi are you going to get? 10? 15?
Maybe
10.
15?
Maybe
10. Yeah. So let's give him 135. And he's got 2 more hitters left to go. I forget what he did. So he's light on steals.
I got some thoughts about the stolen base. And let me tell you, you guys tell me what you think. I think that, like, we look at the 80th percentile, 90th percentile from last year. And it was so high because so many big base stealers, C.J. Abrams, Elliot De La Cruz, like these guys were coming out of, you know, not necessarily out of nowhere, but they were just getting drafted so much later. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pickups. So, like, do we think that the 80th, 90th, because those guys are obviously going earlier now. Do we think that the 80th, 90th percentile is going to come down quite a bit? I think it's going to. I could be wrong.
I don't know. Yeah, it could. I'm not sure, though.
I don't know either.
I haven't counted other team steals, but I'm guessing if you do, Phil would be bottom five in steals.
So, Dave, do you like Phil's team?
Look, I don't dislike it. It's just, I just don't.
You wouldn't do it.
No, yeah. It's not what I would do.
How would you improve it?
I don't know. I mean, I would just allocate differently. Like, if I needed more steals or more average, I would have planned for that.
At what point, and you can say right away with Wheeler, and I think you've already alluded to that.
Yeah, I mean, Tatis would have helped a lot with steals, for sure.
So you think it's wrong?
I would have got,
you think it's wrong from the start?
Yeah, I would have started Tatis Castillo, yeah.
Okay.
Or you could have gone Tatis Michael Harris and waited until the next round to take a starter. But I know Phil super values those high-end pitchers, and I don't think that's necessarily wrong. I don't know how much better Wheeler's going to be than Castillo. And I guess maybe he didn't count on Castillo still being on the board.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But Tatis is so good. Like, easily could be a top 1-3 player. Like,
he'll fucking nitro.
Yeah, easily.
He's one of those players, like, in the first round.
And he's healthy now.
Ohtani, Tatis.
Yeah.
Those are the players that can farge Acuna, Strider.
Witt.
J-Rod.
Yep. Tatis.
Oh, Betts maybe?
Betts probably not. I mean, Betts I love, but I don't think he really has a shit ton of upside in him the way the other guys do.
Yeah. So, what is your favorite team? We've talked a lot of shit on a lot of teams. I think we've basically been more on the negative side than positive on all the teams. But what team do you like the most? Zito, any thoughts?
Yeah, Zito, what are your thoughts? Yeah. I don't know, man. I tell you what, I like, when the first thing I do when I look at boards is like, who made the biggest mistakes? Like, that's kind of what I look at.
Me too.
Not necessarily who did well.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, when you just look at a board like this, you look at like the first 5 or 10 picks, and that really doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. It's all about hitting on those late guys and keeping your, you know, frontline guys healthy. I am kind of beating around the bush. I'll tell you right now, I hate Team 14. It's just not my kind of style. 6 straight hitters. No thanks. That's just not me. I love getting me some pitchers. I kind of like Team 5, if I'm being honest. I mean, you got Mookie Betts right away. You got Luis Castillo and Glasnow. So you got two, you know, kind of aces right there. Rosarena right there at the fourth. I feel like that's good value right there. Did jump the gun probably a little bit on Wyatt Langford, but obviously get your guys seasoned, right? So, I don't know. I'm not a huge Alexis Diaz fan, but I would take Clay Holmes easily over Alexis Diaz if we could switch that out. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Team 5's got
it. I like Team 5 a lot, too. The only thing I would have personally not done was the Skeens picking round 18. Like, Zito kind of agrees on that.
Zito thinks he's a sleeper, maybe, or I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Like, when's he up?
I don't know. He has like 6 innings pitched in the minor. Yeah. I don't know.
I like a lot of what Team 5 did too. I mean, there's some picks there I don't love. You know, Glasnow and Hunter Green and whatnot.
Yeah, because Glasnow's an injury risk, right?
And, I mean, Jesus. Yeah. Verlander.
Why don't you wait? Back up. Why don't you like Glasnow? In the third round,
Dr. Dave hates elite ratios.
How many load
of wins?
How many years has he been in the league?
Oh, here we go. Innings and all that stuff.
Okay, 8 years. I don't know, 8 years?
9 years, I think.
Okay.
What's his max innings pitch in the year?
Probably like 120,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
Last year, 120.
Is it? Yeah.
So what do we, you think we're going to pitch 180 plus this year now?
Not necessarily.
No. Okay. So he's just that good that out of 120 innings, let's assume.
150.
Let's just,
Oh, so he's just going to go 30 innings over his max.
Yeah, he went four straight months last year.
Oh, well, that's a hell of a
After his injury, he went four straight months.
Yeah. No, he's the
about
next
to do five.
Yeah.
He's about to do five straight
months. Yeah, Cy Glasnow, let's go. Okay.
Cy Glasnow, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So 200-plus strikeouts. So he's that good that in 150 innings, he's going to be the best pitcher in baseball.
No, but it doesn't need to be because you're taking him in the third round as your SP2.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I just don't love it.
Yeah, the only thing I'd criticize about Team 5 is that they should have they went Betts, Castillo, Glasnow. They should have gone Betts, Glasnow, Castillo.
Yes. Yes.
Nobody's letting Castillo go to the third round, idiots. All right. I'm going to go with Team 7. I like the Childs Ferrari team. Kyle Tucker, Michael Harris, Bo Bichette. Manny Machado, like such good foundation of hitters, and
you like zero saves, Dave, or what's your deal here now?
Well, it's a standalone league; it's not an overall. So
yeah, but you still don't want to take a one in a category.
You're right, but you can do that. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot I like about this team.
Okay,
you know, Bassett, Sonny Gray, Lizardo, Ober. I love Sai Suzuki. You can do that with Schwarber and Morel, taking the average a little bit, but given the previous, you know, Bichette and Tucker and Harris, like your average is pretty high at that point. So, but you're right. Like the no closers is definitely like pretty much punting a category. So, there's a lot I like about it, but that would be one thing I do not like about it, and I would not do that myself.
Who got Henry Davis in this draft?
I just saw that.
I do like that Tucker Harris Bichette for top three.
And Machado. It's so good. Many. So I do many really like Team 5, which is Schroeder's team, because of what we just talked about. The Glasnow picks, obviously, Cy Young.
Because you're a kiss ass.
No, and like
Zach is definitely not a kiss ass. I don't think.
the icing on the cake there is Alexis. Oh.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Alexis Diaz plus fucking Robert Suarez in the 10th. Like, those are two really good closers.
So, another decent team you asked about who had Henry Davis was Team 9, which is another team I actually kind of liked.
Got him in the 13th, yeah.
Yeah.
You like those hitter starts. You like those three-hitter starts, huh?
I don't love the cease pick. Like, that's the one thing. Like, I don't, you know... Again, like, none of these teams are exactly what I would want to do. You know? Like you're asking me to pick a team out of imperfect teams. I mean, not that there's a perfect team, but, like, none of these are exactly what I like. But
you've had all night to study the board, though, too.
No, I really haven't. Because we were going to do, like, a quick thing on one team, and then it turned into, like, all the teams. So I've just been looking it over as we're talking.
So, Dave, what do you think about Kyber Ruiz over Henry Davis? Because that's Ferrari, Childs. And Childs, I was in the room.
No, I would take Henry Davis.
Over it's funny, because I was talking to Childs, and, you know, and I think Ferrari drafted the team. And Childs, like, he said to me, Henry Davis, people don't realize, but he's going to be a top five catcher easily. Like, he's a fucking stud. And then they take Kyber Ruiz over him in the 13th round.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. So I don't really know what to make of that. I think I would probably do the same thing that they did. I'd probably take that guy with the catcher eligibility right away. And I think Ruiz is good. So
I like Ruiz.
That's fair.
I like Ruiz.
But if I were them, I'd probably just, if both were available, I'd probably just push another round.
It also depends on what you need. You know, Kyber Ruiz is steady but limited upside. You know, you're not going to get much power from him. Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Fish. Oh, nope.
Well, I just think he's young enough where there's still an opportunity for some more, a little bit more there. But whatever it is, maybe he doesn't have another level.
I mean, Henry Davis was the number one overall pick who went to Driveline. I'm buying in. I mean, he's crushed the spring against actual legitimate pitchers. There is some risk there, though. Like, who knows? Maybe he doesn't gain eligibility. Maybe they... Yeah.
I think Phil took Ty France here, too, who went to Driveline. So
Driveline, yes.
So do you like Phil's team because Ty France went to Driveline? And...
Yes, that's how it works, Zach. Every single player who went to Driveline is automatically amazing, and nobody else is...
It seems like that's what you're saying.
I'm saying it's a factor.
Well, that's what... Yeah, so do you like Phil's team because he took Ty France?
No, that's not on that, no.
No,
Ty France, no, but Henry Davis, yes.
Well, how many home runs did Henry Davis hit in the spring? How many did Ty France hit?
That's spring training. That's not driveline.
They're both relevant.
I know. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they're not. But they're different things. You can't just...
Well, but one leads to the... Like,
spring training doesn't lead to driveline. Driveline doesn't lead to spring training.
What do you mean?
What I just said.
Okay. I mean...
All right.
We can see the effect from driveline with Henry Davis in spring. Like, he's homering off of legitimate good pitchers. I have not... I don't think Ty France has even homered in spring.
Okay. Who's Henry Davis hit on?
I like Henry Davis.
I like Henry Davis, too.
I like Henry Davis.
Who's he hit a home run off of?
Who?
Henry Davis.
I don't know. It could literally be anybody.
Corbin Burns.
And I like it.
Jack Flaherty. And I can't remember who else. Okay, but there's other good pitchers.
I honestly didn't expect you to give me any answers, so you
win. All right. Anything else, Zach? You want to cover before we...
No, I think we're done.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
We're done.
All righty.
And Rich can finally get to bed.
And if literally anybody's still listening... God.
No, everyone's listening. This is
fantastic.
This has been...
You are all fantastic.
I think this is podcast of the year. This is going to win an FWA worthy.
If it does not win an award, we riot.
FWA?
I mean, obviously.
FSWA, I believe, is what it is.
I don't even know. I have no idea. I've never cared.
All right, we're gonna get out of here, Rick. All right, cool?
Whatever you guys want.
All right.
Zeno made it up.
All right. Later, boys.